Really kind of a Labor Day hangover for some people. You hear people whining, I don't want to go back to work. You just had, hopefully some of you had 3 and 4 days off. Somebody who wasn't off, Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator John McCain, both working for a short time anyway with the president, talking about Syria. The president shocked a lot of people when he said authorization for Syria and a strike on Syria, he wanted to come from Congress. He wanted to work with Congress on it, in other words. And I think heading into the long Labor Day weekend, this stunned so many. So part of what the Prez was doing is starting to meet with some of the people. Because remember, full Congress isn't back in session until September 9th. So here's what Senator Lindsey Graham's take was about Syria.
For 2 years, the president has allowed this to become, quite frankly, a debacle. And when it comes to selling the American people what we should do in Syria, given the indifference and, quite frankly, contradictions, it's going to be a tough sell, but it is not too late.
So how about that? Takes a big slam at the president, but says, hey, but wait, it's not too late. So they're working on a version of an authorization for the use of force in Syria. The White House is reworking language to address what they say is concerns from some people on the Hill. So this is the first salvo on both sides of this. Will, you know, Lindsey Graham, along with Senator John McCain, they have been talking about the Syrian thing for a long time. He is right on that. It's been 2.5 years in this war, this bloody battle, what they're calling the civil war, the rebels and Assad's army, basically, and then all the innocent people in between that have had, unfortunately, their lives ripped apart when tanks line up and just shoot through the walls or bombs go off or, oh, yeah, they gas people. Because it's proven that it's, take the allegedly away, but they gas people with sarin gas, which was the red line in the sand that the president mentioned. So now we have definitely smashed into the red line. Are you thinking, forget this delay, just bomb them already, bomb the crap out of them, because you saw the bodies of children wrapped up in the white sheets? Or is this a smart move to wait for Congress? See, here's the problem I have. What's the first thing that goes off on me? I didn't serve in the military, but I am surrounded by people in my family who served in the military, and I'm thinking delay. What is your tactical advantage in a war situation, even in modern-day warfare? The element of surprise. There is no element of surprise left in this thing. So what if Congress also rejects the idea? So make nice, try to get Congress to get on board, but geez, what if they say no? Uh-uh. We are weary of war. We don't want to spend one more cent on it. We feel deeply for the Syrian people, and we want to dump all kinds of humanitarian aid along with everything that our friends in the UN have decided to do. We will quadruple any of those efforts, but that's as far as we're going. What if there's the chance of that? So the committee, well, I'll re-rack here for a second. You have a Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Democratic Senator Robert Menendez is the chairman of that. And heavily involved, of course, is Democrat Harry Reid, the Senate majority leader. And they're working on the words, the verbiage, the text, whatever you want to call it, of the Senate's version of a revised authorization. Now, they're going to start debating on that. They say maybe Wednesday afternoon. They want to bring it to a full Senate for debate next week. So they want to have it ready from the committee. Boom, let's roll on this the second you step foot in the door on September 9th from your summer break. But both chambers, so the House would have to be ready, the Senate would have to be ready, and then they have to approve the authorization. And does Obama, does that administration, does his administration have the votes? Now, the president says he doesn't require congressional authorization for a strike on Syria. Because here's what they'll look at. The authorization of the use of military force against al-Qaeda was signed into law in September 2001 by, remember, President George W. Bush, and it's been used to justify lots of years, all those years, of counterterrorism by Bush and Obama, from Afghanistan to drone strikes, and there hasn't been any congressional oversight, very little anyway, except for some screaming and people upset about collateral damage and the use of drones and all that stuff. I'm thinking off the top of my head, Senator Rand Paul. So now this is kind of a new territory. This is an open-ended question. Is this too broad? Is this authority too broad? And do they have to rein this whole idea in? And ultimately, what happens now? This is kind of going on the high wire. What happens if both chambers vote and reject? They reject any kind of authorization. That would be disastrous for Obama. It'd be disastrous. And I don't even know if it's a presidential thing. It's just whether or not that they want to do this. Get in the middle of this, in a sense. Because is it no force going to Syria? Is it force against the Assad government? There's some semantics at work here. And it's legal-wise, you could tear this apart for days, for longer than days. So is there a limit to the president's action in Syria? And this is what everybody's concerned about. Armed forces of the United States. That's part of it. Boots on the ground, even though we're saying there's no boots on the ground. So I don't know that this is such an easy sell. As a matter of fact, I think it's a tough sell. Appealing to these people have been wronged, gassed. That's the line in the sand for anyone. Forget it. But I think there's going to be tough going in the next couple of days for sure, and then heading into next week. So as a taxpayer, would you authorize this? Would you say, yep, go ahead. Go ahead. Just, I go ahead with it. Collateral damage, anything else I'm not concerned about, something has to be done. What would you do? And we're part of this, because the president is trying to win over the American people. Can ye win you over? Are you winnable? 855, are you gettable? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, or flip me an email at americatonight.net. Also coming up this hour, Tanya Markiol, if you missed her, talking about why real estate has really bounced back. It's probably helping some of you with your biggest investment, your house in whatever neck of the woods you live in, and you're listening to America Tonight. That's coming up at the tail end of the hour. Coming up next, though, we're going to check the mailbag. Hang with us here on America Tonight.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
This segment, let's check that mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. Joe Martin says, Kate, I enjoy listening to your radio show. It's interesting the way your mind works. I have to throw in my two cents on Syria. It sounds barbaric. I know about the people. It's awful. Gas is unbelievable. It sure is. But I'm going to say we need to stay out of this. The deeper we get implanted in the Middle East, it seems to be the worse things get. And then everybody wants our help. Once we get there, they throw it in our face. I don't understand why we are wasting our resources. We are a nation that tries to help others. And maybe in one way that's a good thing, but now we've been taken advantage of. And I feel as though we really have to say no on Syria. Well, cat's out of the bag. It ain't happening. There is no no on Syria. I think it's a question of how is this going to be gone about, and will there be the blessing of Congress, which I believe this was also, in one way, the president doing this was a smart move from a political perspective and a public relations perspective, because for the people that think we should go into Syria, the people that believe we should be there and should have been there, then the fact that you're enlisting Congress means you can find out who says no and who says yes and go from there. And it could be helpful to them. Now, if the answer is no in the House and no in the Senate, no, you know, there's not enough votes to get it going, it doesn't work and it blows up, then that's a bad thing. That's catastrophic from that point of view. Bottom line is, I think that the idea of war in any sense has people just saying to themselves, we can't keep doing this. It's always an emergency. It's always dire. It's always barbaric. And we can't let everybody else fight it out. What are we doing? We can't be in the middle of this. And then pictures are released from 2009 with how many meetings did John Kerry have with Assad, and talking about the Syrian regime and how, you know, they're our partners and we have to embrace the regime. And, of course, now it is a handful of years later and this is blowing up on the guy who is now the Secretary of State. And, of course, you could say, well, it was different then in Syria, and it was, but we're seen embracing the wrong person again. Mohamed Morsi, woohoo, he's our guy. Muslim Brotherhood, he's out. Egypt's a mess. Now you have the Assad thing, and, yep, I forget what website it was on, but somewhere, and these pictures are floating around all over the place. And, of course, it's easy to dig up something that happened in the past, and why was Kerry there in the first place? Well, he was part of an envoy, so it's not a let's get so much John Kerry on this one. But it just goes to show you, he met with him 5 times. The Syrian dictator who is now turning gas on his own people, who is blowing them up through walls. And this was just a handful of years ago. They were engaging Assad. And now telling, you know, members of Congress that we have to move away from a policy based on dictating decisions. We have to move away from that. And that if you go back a few years ago, it was about the proper understanding by Washington of regional issues and common interests. But in fact, what's happening is quite the opposite. I mean, it's quite the opposite as far as the world stage is concerned. And Kerry, who, I'll say this again, is not a senator from Massachusetts any longer. He is the Secretary of State, as you all know. And he considers Syria a key player he did at one time, certainly, in efforts to revive the Middle East peace process. Wow! That Syria is an essential player. So what does that mean about Assad? Differences that they had a frank exchange on any differences and agreements about the possibilities of peace? How can you have possibilities of peace with Assad with what's happened there? And many of you have pointed to this, so let's go through quickly another couple of emails, since I don't want to go off on and digress and go into a different territory. This one from Tom in Illinois, and Tom says, Assad is a murderous thug. Whatever he wasn't before. Whatever's going on, it doesn't matter. Bottom line is, we backed the wrong guy again and again and again. We cannot do anything but ditch this situation in the Middle East before we quickly, as you put it, Ms. Delaney, sink in the quicksand of what is ultimately nothing but misery and money and lives wasted over and over again as we continue to get into the middle of things that we have no business being in the middle of. This one from Alan in Florida. No way, no how, no deal. Stay out of Syria. Stay out of, in fact, all the conflicts in the Middle East, unless it involves our brother, Israel. Well, Israel's squirming, and that's the problem, Al, and they're squirming because of the situation they're in. Imagine gas being used on the Israelis, and they're all scattering to get gas masks because of what's happened in Syria. You know, Egypt used to be kind of boundary-wise the blocker for Israel, but they're not that any longer, certainly with everything that's happened there. All right, this one comes to us from Gare, who's listening to us in the great state of Texas. And he says, Kate, I listen to the show as much as I can when I'm awake, And sometimes I get a chuckle. Lately, it's been such serious business with Syria. And I think we need to unwind ourselves from this and just simply extract. It's time to move on. I've heard you say a phrase, something about changing the narrative. It's time to change the narrative. This is a losing situation. I don't care who begs us to go in. It's not the right thing to do. All right, quickly, to be sure, there were some others on the other side. This one from Bert. He says, hello, America, tonight. How can these people call your show and possibly say that we should just leave people in a situation where gas is being used on them? Didn't we learn the lessons from the past? Imagine if people thought that was okay to happen to Americans. Imagine if chemical weapons hit our shores. What a panic we'd all be in. We are nothing if not humanitarians. We need to help no matter what the cost. And then this one comes to us from Jane, who also says a similar thing. Been listening to the show for a long time. I like the fact that you invite all kinds of opinions. I probably should have called the other night, but I was just too darn tired. I am so surprised by some of the people who I've heard recently on America Tonight suggesting that no matter what, we cannot be involved or invest in any way in Syria. How can you allow innocent children to be gassed and to explode from the inside? It's just sickening, I tell you. What if that were to happen here in the United States? We'd all be singing a different tune, wouldn't we? And then one last one, balancing things out. This one from Jack, listening to us in Vermont. And Jack says, maple syrup kind of guy. I had to laugh when you talked about maple syrup maybe a year ago. And who had the best? Without a doubt, it's Vermont. I don't care what the people in New Hampshire say. On to Syria. We have to go and help those poor people. Who is going to help them otherwise? We are the most powerful nation still in the face of the earth, believe it or not. Missiles, missiles, missiles. We have those drones. Let's use those drones and help the people as much as we possibly can. Are you get the idea. If you've never sent us your thoughts, you can easily do that. Go to americatonight.net. You'll see contact. Click on contact, rather. And let your thoughts flow. Stay with us. More to come here in just a few minutes on America Tonight.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. Med Kits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new just-in-case pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633. 609-5633, on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees, and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details and your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Still loom over Syria, not a big, this is nothing new. Now that Congress has to weigh in, what will full Congress vote? I don't know that there really is a possibility of a complete bipartisan deal here, maybe. If I were a betting person, I would say no. And then the president is trying to win over international allies who are not thrilled about this either. So there's not necessarily as much support as you would think. Judging by some of the people who have written us emails saying that they cannot believe that people do not think that we should go into Syria, because how could we be so cold and so barbaric? But the questions abound, and this could all blow up on the president trying to get the approval of Congress. So this is wait and see, because we still have more time here. An interesting thing happened as far as Syria is concerned, a recruiting website for the Marines. This was big news, you know, almost anywhere. If you had jumped on your computer, you would have seen it. A recruiting website for the Marines was tampered with and redirected to show a pro-Assad message on Monday. They do say no information was at risk, that the website wasn't hacked but temporarily redirected. See, who redirected it? They don't know who's responsible for it. It was redirected to a message from the Syrian Electronic Army. The hacker group claimed responsibility for disrupting New York Times website, Twitter, and other social media sites that they see as sympathetic to Syrian's rebels. Isn't that wild? The message to the Marine Corps was a plea for Americans to fight alongside the Syrian army and not to aid the rebels. And you know where we're at with that, that the president's looking for approval for the intervention to respond to what happened with the chemical weapons attack on the rebels who were trying to oust Assad. And so isn't that interesting, turning that around, the hacker getting in there and then throwing, you know, redirecting the website. Is anything safe anymore? There's the big problem. There's the new frontier. It's not a new frontier. It's something we've known for a while. But, boom, they just get right in the Marine website. No big deal. No big deal. We'll get into that site. Are you kidding me? I mean, there's the other big question for you. Ah, yeah, we'll just hack into it. We can hack into it, and we can direct it however we want to direct it. And so guess what? We're going to direct it in a completely wrong direction from what you want to see. Because we perceive you to be sympathetic in the other direction. So we want to show you what it looks like in our world. I mean, luckily it wasn't a permanent thing, but it's just one more deal to show how the net is so wide open, isn't it, when it comes to the Internet? I mean, wide open. So two-thirds of us at this point, you know, I am the poll princess. I say that often. And if we look at the recent polls, and boy, there have been a lot of polls, certainly, on this topic. It's red poker hot. I was even thinking something would happen over the weekend, and we'd be jumping on the air, but nothing happened over the weekend. So, just like in the United States, the Brits are doing their own polling, and the Independent did a poll that showed two-thirds opposed strikes on Syria, and you think of the British and the temperament of the people in the sense for this kind of thing, and it's the Iraq War was it. I mean, once the Iraq War happened, the Brits didn't want anything to do with anything in the Middle East. So that's a 2-to-1 margin. The Brits oppose Obama's plan for military strikes against the Assad folks and say the UK should just keep out of all conflicts in the area for the foreseeable future. Did you agree with those people in England? Should the United States just keep out of all conflicts in the region for the foreseeable future? David Cameron and Nick Clegg rejected party pressure from the MPs and peers for another Commons vote on whether British forces should be used to join the airstrikes in Syria, only 4 days after the MPs rejected the Prime Minister's plan to take part. So they don't want anything to do with this. They're rebuffing this. They're saying, forget it. If you want to stand on that dock, on that edge, you can stand there alone. So the U.S. will go after, whether collateral damage, whatever happens, they'll go after, this is going to happen. They're going to go after Assad, or we're going to go after Assad with or without permission, I believe, from Congress. So that is going to send a clear message to the Hill, too, if they vote not to do that, certainly. And I think if I were Israel, I would be worried. If I were Israel, I would want to know what is the level of commitment, what's happening here, because they're standing out there on a limb by themselves, and where's the backup for Israel? And the answer is, there isn't any backup for Israel at this point, if we're out. If we're out, and we're not continuing to invest in the sands of the Middle East, especially with what's happened lately, they know they're in a predicament. They know they're paddling as fast as they can by themselves, without a doubt. So how about that? I want to make sure that we mixed in a few other things as well. I can't help myself because I think the Syrian thing couldn't be bigger because of what it could ultimately mean for us. But some quick headliners for you, because we're going to ultimately go to Tanya Markiel in our next segment. But bravo to Diana Nayyad, who walked on to the Key West shore Monday, becoming the first person to swim from Cuba to Florida without the help of a shark cage. Yeah. And this is a woman in her 60s, in her mid-60s, and had a hard time making this happen, but finally has made it happen. So, woohoo! She gets high fives of the day. That's a big deal. From to Florida, from Cuba, no shark cage. All the things that ultimately happen to you when you're making this trek. And as I said, this is a woman who has tried and hasn't been able to do it, but now has finally made it happen, and good for her, 64 years old. And she's the first person to do that, so that's a record. She got to the beach just before 2 in the afternoon, 53 hours after she started her swim in Havana. I think you could swim for 53 hours. I mean, not even close could I swim for 53 hours. She's a pro, but still. So there was spectators all over the place. They were taking pictures. They were screaming for her. When she got there, she's put on a stretcher. She got medical treatment. She gets an IV. Her lips were swollen. That's what's going to happen in the water. That's a 105th try to do it. It is a 110-mile swim. She tried three times in 2011 and 2012. She also tried, check this out, back in 1978. So before, she had jellyfish stings. Her face was puffy, swollen. She had boat trouble, storms, terrible currents, all kinds of things. And this time it was meant to be. It was meant to be. She's tried some other cool things like that before, but this is pretty, I mean, this is pretty amazing. She got her first national, I think, spotlight. It was in the mid-70s. She swam the 28 miles around the island of Manhattan just under 8 hours. Yeah, pretty cool. And she's done some other wild kinds of swims, some of them pretty darn dangerous. But here she did without the shark cage. Wow. All right, the American men are out of the U.S. Open. It is our Open. It is tennis, I know, but it is our U.S. Open. And now, superstar, always a crowd favorite, all-time good guy, Roger Federer, is out in the fourth round of the U.S. Open. So the possibility of a Rafa Nadal Roger Federer showdown has been nixed because of that. And Tommy Robredo was the guy who beat him. He was the 19th seed, and he beat him 7-6, 6-3, 6-4. Federer had won all of the 10 previous times that he met Robredo on the court, but this time it just wasn't his day. It just didn't happen. He hadn't dropped a set since entering the match, but then he just collapsed. He collided, and Robredo had the right stuff at the right time. So it was supposed to be in the afternoon, the match, but it was moved to another court 4 hours after the rain. And, you know, did that affect him? You know, who knows? But he was trying to break the all-time record of 41 major quarterfinal appearances. Jimmy Connors had that, and it didn't happen. How about that? Tommy Robredo, the stopper of the greatness of Swiss tennis star Roger Federer. Thinking about your house and the value of your house, our next guest talks about the housing market and where it is now in our weekly re-rack. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelters should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit IWantThatBunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Markiel's in the wings. You remember her. We had her at the beginning of the year talking about housing. And now here we are for another check-in halfway, almost through, actually, the year. And we have new headlines and things to talk about. In fact, when it comes to new homes, saying that sales have, I've just been reading the statistics, have taken the biggest drop since 2010. Tanya, I remember we were having these discussions about forecasting and what it was going to look like. Are you surprised or no, this is what you thought would happen?
No, these are great. You know, really, all except for that number, it's been great numbers for housing. And even the numbers that haven't been so good are okay because it's showing a balance. And what we really want to see in housing is stabilization. That number for new home sales is interesting. Nobody would have ever thought that it would have been that low. But you have to think of a couple of things that nobody's really thinking about. You have to realize that building is a process. Taking a lot from a raw piece of dirt up through entitlements to plotting and going through the build time where a human can actually purchase it takes time. And builders have a lot of inventory built up. Well, they're out of that inventory, and they're now having to get other pieces of land and take it through that process. So it's not just interest rates, are the reason that we've seen that number spike.
All right, and last time when we were together, we were also talking about looking at numbers, that we were seeing that a lot of people were finding the good buys. Because you're the CEO of Team Investments, and one of the things that you talked about is people that are picking up real estate investments because, hey, we're not going to make any more land. Land is still one of the best investments. It depends on the pickup, where you go, location, all that kind of thing. So what are the best locations right now for that?
You know, location really hasn't changed too much since December. Arizona, Florida, some parts of California. It depends on what you're buying for. And if you're buying as an investment, more so than the real estate itself, you got to look at jobs and what's driving that real estate to look like it's looking. So when you look at that, and if you're going to buy and hold like a lot of the large hedge funds are doing, you know, you want to go where jobs are, where there's good rental income. That's what you want to look at. And that really still is Arizona and Florida.
Wow, really? So, and when you're talking about a place like Florida, are you saying all of the Sunshine State, or, you know, everybody wants a piece of the beach, so your beach-type areas, can you still get some good bargains there?
You can, but really, there's deals all over Florida, and they're different types of deals, right? Miami's always going to be a hot market because it's a vacation destination, huge international buyer pool. That's always going to be a place for where people want to buy and go. But then you look at a place like Orlando, and Orlando is big because it has lots of jobs. So if I'm looking at rentals, I may really want to consider Orlando. Orlando has a great, healthy job market really due to Disney.
Really? How about that? And do you find that with investors, I mean, obviously there's syndicates where people have a lot of different partners and whatnot, but I've recently run into this. When I knew we were going to have you on, and I just called even the people in my neighborhood. In other words, I just talked to them, and I found out that right across the street from me, two neighbors, then the neighbor down and the neighbor down, all in my development had rental properties.
Yeah.
And they told me that that's what has been just for them the best thing they ever did. So do you find that sometimes it's individual people and they just say, hey, I have that same philosophy about they're not making more land, this is the right thing to do, and boom, let's go.
I think a lot of times you find that. You know, when I look at people's, when people come to me and they want to invest, I take everyone individually. But a lot of times buying, holding, and renting something out is the absolute best strategy. You know, you have to realize that real estate is the only thing where you can walk into a bank they want to give you money for, right? They want to leverage it. You can go to someone else and rent it out and have them pay that mortgage. You get to keep the overage, and you make appreciation on it. There's not another asset out there where you can do all of those things.
True. But here's the thing. Before, you had trouble getting the bank note. Is that starting to get easier?
You know, there's some loosening of lending criteria, but for the most part, you're still, especially with an investment, you're putting down 25% to 30%, and you got to have provable income.
Yeah, as long as you have, I mean, that's the whole thing. See, we live in a world, and you know this too, of entrepreneurs. You know, there are people that are entrepreneurs that are doing quite well. I mean, that's what the country is, the backbone of the country. So there it can be a little tricky. What do you do if you're somebody who's an entrepreneur? You just have to keep showing your
Very tricky, you know, because as an entrepreneur, you want to take advantage of the tax code. And yet when you take advantage of the tax code and it doesn't look like you make very much money, you're not going to be able to buy very much real estate. So it's a catch-22. But really, for the most part, entrepreneurs need to plan on putting down 25% to 30%. Having good credit and provable income, and, you know, you're still able to buy. And with the recent spike in interest rates, even albeit so slight, we're really seeing some of the regional banks come back to life. And that's a good thing because it gives more opportunity for people like you and I who are self-employed.
Right, right. It's interesting because there has been a bounce back, and you're talking about some of the areas. You know, you mentioned Florida and California. What's the deal with California? Does it depend on where you are in Los Angeles or San Diego or San Francisco? Is it that location thing and what's happened there? Because remember, what was it, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, we were talking about it was horrific. It was a massacre in California.
We were waiting for it to literally fall off into the ocean,
yes,
right?
Yes, we're waiting for it to break away and float away, yes.
It really depends on where you are. There's a lot of bidding wars in California because prices are still relatively low. Interest rates are still relatively low. So there are bidding wars. But then you have a place like Richmond, who wants to implement eminent domain instead of foreclosures, which is just the worst idea ever because we've got to keep the government out of housing. But, you know, there's a lot going on in California. You need to be very careful and know exactly what you're buying, and not just in California, but anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. So let me ask you about this. We were talking about California. When it was tricky to pick up houses in certain areas, true story, I had a friend that was looking for a house, was determined to live in Westlake Village. No houses. Finally said to the real estate person, because what was happening, if a house came up, somebody would come in from another country or from an investment group. And you know what they did? They'd say, well, we're going to give you, they'd open, I'm not kidding you, they would literally open a suitcase full of cash and say, but here's the cash. I didn't think you could do that. Here's the cash we can give you right this second. And, of course, they would jump at it. So finally what happened is she sent the realtor knocking on doors to see if anyone wanted to sell, and somebody did. Somebody said,
that's absolutely the case. I, you know, it's so funny. You hear these stories and people are like, yeah, right. I believe it at this point in time because housing has really come back with a boom, and it really is a driving force in the economy. I mean, we saw existing home sales last week alone up 7%. That is the largest gain since 2009, and it's great to see existing home sales. Those are homes that have been built, you know, lived in, been there, done that, and people are buying again. So that's a great thing, and it really just shows that housing really is still in strong demand and is a driving force in the economy.
Yeah. Do you, you got to tell us a crazy story. I don't think I had you tell me one last time. In all your years in real estate, what's the craziest thing that you've seen?
Oh, boy, you're going to put me on the spot. I can't think of anything
Tanya.
Off the top of my head.
You have one. Just come on, cash floating from the ceiling, something. I know it. In Miami, of all places.
Right? I know.
Yes.
You know, I really don't have any crazy stories. I guess I'm pretty boring when it comes to the craziness. I like it simple.
The Brazilian.
I'll think of one and have it ready for you for the
next
time
I'm thinking like Miami Vice, the Brazilians riding in on their, or actually coming in with one of their giant yachts and then plopping down the money that way. Because what I heard is in Miami, that's what's happening, that the Brazilians are buying a lot of those properties.
You know, they are, and they are buying for cash, but I don't necessarily know that anyone's coming in with a boatload of dollar bills.
Is it in Miami? Is it, because I used to spend a lot of time in Miami, and I'm sure people listening across America are laughing at that. I mean, if I had golf clubs in a car, I was wherever was I was going next. I was on my next adventure. So in Miami, the you know, there was those great high rises on the water, and they used to just be jammed. You couldn't even get in there. And then everybody fled from them. Now are they selling again?
Oh, they're absolutely selling again. I remember being in Miami in 2009, and it was almost like, you know, a deserted island on some of those high rises. We stayed in Trump Towers down, I guess it would just be south of South Beach, and it was just deserted. And now all of those high rises are full again.
That's good news for people like you, Tanya. Tanya Markiel, thanks so much. You can check her out at teaminvestmentsinc.com. It was a lot of fun. You got to come up with a funny story.
I'm going to think of one and make sure that I tell you.
All right. That's good. Thank you, Tanya.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.